you know those kids in your youth ministry that would just drive you crazy? The ones that would never get off their phone, or they'd be running around or disappear with a girl, or you would try to set up one of those really holy and sacred moments like communion, and you would dismiss them to get the elements, and this is the kid that would just go in and grab a handful of the crackers because he thought it was snack time. Well, you might want to listen in and pay attention just a little bit, because what would it be like if one of those kids actually turned out to be your boss and would one day hire you for your first position coming out of vocational ministry? Don't believe that that's possible? Well, today's guest on the Life After Ministry podcast is Alan Ramsey. And after working for more than 20 years as a youth pastor, this is his story. He actually finishes his last Sunday and the next morning begins a new career as a chaplain in a real estate firm. And what he tells us is stories about how he thought, I don't know if anything that I've ever done as a pastor or even a youth pastor could ever translate or transfer into a normal person's job in the real world. And what we get to hear from him is how we find hope, healing, and health in our life after ministry. I loved this conversation with Alan, and I know you will too. Alan Ramsey, welcome to the Life After Ministry podcast. Good to have you here.
So good to be with you. Excited about this morning.
Yeah, and you're just down the road from us. We're in Lexington, and you are in Knoxville, Tennessee.
Yes, what's known as Knox Vegas.
Oh, is that really?
Right
down the road from Nash Vegas.
That's right. Yeah, we're stealing everybody. We're stealing everybody now. People are realizing that Knoxville is a pretty great place, and they can't afford Nashville.
Yes, that's actually absolutely true. And less traffic, which is always a good thing,
that's
too.
That's right.
So, hey, we're here to talk about your story. God brought you into ministry and has brought you out of what we would call the world of vocational ministry. And so we want to explore that story. But you have some unique lessons, and where you have landed today, what you're doing is nowhere near what you would have ever thought. And so I love your story. But let's start in the beginning. Where were you born? I'm just kidding. Not that. too early.
That's too
early. But how did you get into ministry? How did you, like, from the beginning, like, what was that call? Like, I think I should do something like this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, I grew up in Southern California in San Diego and was in a great church and a great youth ministry and was surrounded by incredible men and women who were followers of Jesus and discipled me. My parents came to faith a little bit later in life, and it was an incredible experience. But I would say they didn't necessarily disciple me, but they put me in the right environments to be discipled. And so it was an incredible, incredible time of my life in middle school and high school. And we had a summer youth camp like many before, and God really touched my heart probably my sophomore year of high school, and just really put a vision in my heart to care for people and to be about serving others. Didn't know what that would mean, but I really felt that tug in my heart, that I would say the calling was there. And then started working in the youth program when I graduated from high school, became an intern, was on staff for a part-time position a little bit under some great leadership, and was going to Bible college. And the next thing you know, I meet my wife in school and I graduate. We start putting resumes out, and this is when resumes, you didn't send it out email. You had to make a copy and print it and mail it and wait.
And if you really wanted the good job, you put it on the really thick paper, like the ivory,
absolutely,
the parchment. Yeah.
Yes. Totally. Oh, very good. Yes. That's what I did. I was
the 28 pound.
I was mentored in the right way on that one. And that's what got me the job. We sent resumes out all over the place. And my wife had wanted to move to the South. She's originally from Northern California, kind of agricultural. And so she didn't really like the SoCal vibe. So she's like, hey, start putting your resume out. And I had never heard of Knoxville, Tennessee. I never heard of it. But the next thing you know, we got married right after I graduated, packed up the truck and drove across and hit Knoxville in 97. and started as the junior high pastor at our church, and loved junior high ministry and middle schoolers, and did that for a long time.
Good. Now it's a new world. You're acclimating, but you're doing this. You find success in ministry, and we're going to like zoom past the years of ministry because this is life after ministry.
Yes,
and so,
that's right.
what was that initiating factor that either told you or somebody else told you? You decided for yourself. God's telling you.
Absolutely.
My season is coming to a close.
Well, internally, I was kind of just going through some tough times. My father had passed away from cancer and just dealing with a lot. I have a lot of kids. I have 5 kids. And so just trying to raise my kids and take care of my mom, who's now widowed. And so there's just a lot going on, which led me to, I think, having a season of just not very productive, fruitful ministry. And the church, I think, saw that. I think they were trying really hard to keep me around, but there just wasn't I don't think there were some good, honest conversations during that process. And so eventually it came to a head where the elders were called in and to walk with me. And I kind of know what that means when elders are called to walk with you.
Yeah, that's right.
It really is. And I don't know why I didn't see it. I guess because I'd been there for 23 years in the same role, and I just love my church. And so, but that came in December 2019, and they said, hey, we love you, but your time is done. If you want to stick around, we'd love to see if you can find a spot, but it's not going to be in youth student ministry. So
I'm curious, yeah. Alan, because we do talk to sometimes it's initiated with us that we'll talk to senior leadership in the church or a board. And this situation has come up more than once, is that they're looking at a youth leader, college leader, somebody who's working in the church. And where at one time everything was going really well for that pastor, they were performing, they were doing the job well. Something shifts and they're no longer, maybe they lost their love for, they become jaded by just the youth, and they're on their phones while you're talking and you're sharing your heart, whatever those things are. But what did that look like for you to not be functioning how you once were? And then what did you need? Was there any coming out of that, or is it something that like you actually had to literally be moved out of that situation to have a change occur?
I had to be moved out. I wasn't going to go anywhere. I wanted this. I loved it. I was losing, I think, some of my edge to things, and it just wasn't as fulfilling. I think I wanted to also, I found myself at times moving more into the jockeying for position. And is there a next step? Is there a next level? I'd been doing this and leading a large student ministry for years. So I was in that place, but it took the senior leadership, the elders, saying, "Hey, you're done." And I really thought I had more years left, and it's what I prided myself in, is this long term youth pastor, not just using youth ministry to move to the next level. And yet, it just wasn't working. And so, yeah, it came to a head, and it was hard. It was painful. And you know, they said, "Hey, would you like to stick around?" Which I thought was very gracious of them. And they gave me a spot, but it felt, it was really hard because I went from being the lead student pastor to being the associate or assistant marriage and family pastor. So in one sense, it's like, what just happened? I was demoted, and yet this is God working, and this is for your good. And yet it was really hard. And that was during the major part of COVID. So no one's really doing anything, and I'm trying to create all this content, and I'm like, I'm not shepherding anybody. I'm not leading anything. So it was a rough season. And in that season, God was just chipping away at that false pride, that false humility, that pride that was there that I didn't even realize was there, about how much I loved leading, being in the front and getting the accolades. And then all of a sudden I was no longer anybody at that point. It's right. Felt
your ministry went very small, very quickly.
Yes, very quickly.
You go from the stage to more like the counseling room, or just you sitting in your office. What did the leadership in the church do really well in that season? It felt like there was a lot of grace. They could have just kind of, hey, you're not fitting for this job, you're out. But they actually liked you enough. There's enough relational equity. But what was that process that they did? Because that's also something that, that people are asking us, like, how do we actually transition them? We like them, but we don't necessarily want them out. What went well? What was that process like?
I think what went well is that they knew me, and my supervisor, who's a gifted, wonderful biblical life counselor and in charge of much of the adult ministry side of things, just kind of had been my supervisor overseeing student ministries. And he just walked with me and he just said, hey, I think you've got these skill sets, these gifts. I think this is more of the direction you need to stretch. And you've been so good in this niche, but you've got so much more. And so they walked with me and they just helped me along. I just think if it hadn't have been COVID, I think there could have been a chance. It could have potentially worked out maybe. I don't know that for sure, but I think there was a trajectory of saying, I think this could work. They want me. I love this place. But then I think the reality of COVID, along with our church was going through a massive change of staff and turnover. And so it was just like, I don't know if this is where I want to be. And I don't know if they really want me anymore. But it took a while to get to that conversation. And once I felt that, knew that, it was like, ooh, this is not what I thought. And I am not prepared for what's next. And so that's where the Lord kind of entered into that next season.
And COVID really has become like, you know, just say like, tell me about your experience. And it was like before COVID and
I know,
after COVID,
is.
Right?
It
really, it changed a lot of stuff, especially in the ministry world. So you're in the, not the assistant to the marriage and family pastor, you're the assistant marriage and family pastor, to pull out the office reference there. But, but that is not, where you settled and God starts to speak to you. And what is that voice starting to sound like?
Well, it was really cool is during this time where I'm just going, I don't sense the direction of where the church's headed. Not that it's bad, but we're still not in a healthy place as a church leadership, I think. And then the Lord was moving my heart, but he had to push me to that. And I got a phone call from a former student of mine from back in the middle school ministry when the late 90s, and I had walked with this person for a long time. He's in his middle 30s, and he called and said, hey, can I take you out to lunch? And he's just an incredible guy, and he is the president of a real estate development company. And he took me to lunch and said, hey, we are getting into a new part of our platform, which will be affordable housing. And we'd love for you to come join us on this adventure to put together programming and create basically a ministry for the residents of the affordable housing properties that we acquire, rehab, and develop for the long run kingdom impact. And we'd love for you. And we thought of you. You're the first person. And he was also aware of my transition. And he, again, 20 plus years of relationship. And he was shepherding me through some of that process and then finding a spot for me and saying, hey, I think you've got much more than you think. Cause he could tell I was very deflated. So yeah, he said, hey, let's go. Let's try this. And so I was very apprehensive at first cause I didn't want to leave the church cause I knew nothing else other than vocational church ministry, especially in one church here. And so I was apprehensive. So he said, hey, well, if that's the case, why don't you do consulting with us and we'll pay you and you do an extra add-on 10 hours a week, help us begin to build some of this, get connected and see where we're at. So that happened for about 2 months. And then it was pretty clear with my heart and how it started beating and getting excited and the church leadership could see it too. So they let me come to them, but it was pretty clear that my heart was shifting and moving. And so a couple months later, I finally said, you know what, it is time. And we worked out a deal. And what I love about working in for-profit work is they don't beat around the bush. They just get right to it. This is here's the deal. Do you want to go? And let's go. And so there's no praying. There's no spending months trying to figure it out. It was like, do you want this or not? Because if not, we're ready to go, but we want you. So what's the decision? And I had to hear from the Lord, and the Lord spoke during a church service where our church pastor was praying for kind of the new senior leadership, if you will. And I was in the back and they were praying. He was praying over everybody. And I felt the Lord say, hey, your time has come to an end. You've done well, but you're done. And I needed that. And then it was time to move on. And I gave a 2-week notice and had no transition dead period between vocational ministry and starting a job in a real estate development company. And my last day was on a Sunday at church. And the next morning I was in a new office by myself trying to figure out, what am I doing?
What was that like? We call it day zero, your last day vocational ministry. Was it like, this is awesome, charge, here we go? Or was there a deep sadness, or did it not hit you till later? Like, what was that process?
Oh, I think everything that you just said has been the case for me. But
all of the above.
All of the above. But I was very sad. I served on a Sunday morning on the usher greeter team, and then literally service was over and no one really said anything. I mean, I'd had some goodbyes on staff a little bit before that. But anyway, I just literally walked out the church doors by myself and I was like, I can't believe this is how it ends. And I'm really sad. But then I show up the next morning and I'm going, I have an office that's to myself and I'm being given the keys to something pretty incredible. And I have an opportunity to do something pretty impactful for the kingdom in a way that my heart started just bursting. So I was really excited to get started.
So your transition's a little different because sometimes, or many of the times, the people that we're running into are told, today's your last day, 2 weeks from now is your last day, and they're coming to us trying to figure out, I don't know what to do. You are transitioning the very next day into exactly what you're doing. Talk to the person who is looking at their pastoral ministry experience, their nonprofit ministry experience, and they're like, I don't know what will actually transfer in the real world.
That's right.
How? Because essentially, I'm looking at your job, and essentially what you're getting to do is you are a youth pastor for affordable people in affordable housing, right? Like you're
absolutely
trying to create community, except you're not doing a Bible study all of the time,
that's
perhaps.
Right. That's right.
What transfers? What did you get to carry over there?
Well, I had a friend who owns his own business, another friend, and he just was encouraging me through this transition and said, hey, one of the things you've got to remember is you've got skills that are so transferable because you actually are good with people. And there are so many people in the marketplace and in these jobs that are horrible with people. They're good at what they do, but they don't have good people skills. Managers become managers. That's right. They do. They do. And he said, managers become managers because they're good at that skill, but it doesn't make them good leaders to care for people and to lead. And he's like, that's all you've been doing. So he was encouraging, but for me, I'm being given an opportunity to do everything that I did in the church, just in a totally different setting without a lot of the church stuff that kind of comes with it. So it really is creating programs just like I'm used to doing, setting up ministries, caring for the needs of those that are impoverished and marginalized, things that I did on mission trips. I mean, the skill sets of what we do in youth ministry or in just ministry pastorally in general is we do a lot. We have a lot on our plate and we do a lot of different things. And so that can transfer. And so I just get to be with people. And so that's where the skills transfer is. If you've been in ministry, you're dealing with leadership issues, conflict issues. You're dealing with decisions, budget, all those things. You're doing that. And now you're being asked to just do it in a different way. It doesn't look the same by any means, but I get to be a part of a company that desires to honor God with how they steward this place. And part of that role is to care for others that are in need. But part of it is as a chaplain, that's my role as a corporate chaplain for the company, that I care for the staff members. And then I work in the field with our apartment managers and our maintenance tech and our leasing agents. And so my job is to meet them where they're at. And isn't that ministry to be present with people? So it's been truly remarkable that I just get to, like you said, I just get to do what I've been doing all these years. It's just a different context.
And what else is different? So you're not, are you walking into some of these contexts with your Bible and you have a study going on? Like I got to speak at a corporate event down in Miami a couple weeks ago, and I don't do a lot of corporate things. I'm very much involved in the ministry world, but I was brought in there to speak, and my biggest concern, what I was fearful of, was that I was going to finish this corporate talk and say, let's close in prayer, and accidentally pray, because that was not the context I was brought in for.
Yeah.
But how, what does ministry look like on the outside? Mm-hmm. Does that make sense? Because we're so ingrained in the bubble of church that there's just a way of doing it that we don't even know. We have people that are coming to the church from the outside, coming to the inside, but pastors, we kind of just open the doors and people come in. I don't know if we kind of send people out, but I think my experience was I didn't do a lot of going out. I just let people come in. So now that I'm outside of it and going out, like what is that? How does that change? What looks different for you now?
Well, that's a great question. And I love the fact that my role here is to be the pursuer. And my job is to pursue the hearts of the staff members here in the sense of creating support, encouragement to them, being a place where there's safety for them to talk about their life struggles. So that's one aspect of what I do as a corporate chaplain. But then the other side is this whole resident outreach stuff. And that's all, there's a lot that goes into that. But I pursue relationships for impact and to see the greater kingdom work at hand in people's lives in the communities. So instead of putting together a program for a bunch of people come to the church, my role has been to be a connector to all that God is doing with churches, nonprofits, for-profits, schools, public safety departments. And so my job is just to literally go door to door and knock on people's doors and say, hey, this is who we are. This is what we want to see happen. Can you join us in this? Instead of saying, hey, here's a flyer. Can you come attend our event? It's, hey, can we partner for impact? And that's a very different conversation. And I don't have to worry about how many people show up. I don't have to worry about all of the marketing that goes on to that. I just have to hit the ground and build relationships. And where my role has come in, where we built a nonprofit organization that I'm no longer leading right now just because of the funding that has been an issue. But my role was to go and start these programs around our apartment complexes. And so I have to travel a lot. And so we have properties in South Carolina. So I would literally be gone 3 days a week traveling to these different towns, these different rural communities and urban communities in South Carolina. And they're primarily African-American low-income housing. So you're a white real estate developer from out of state coming into these impoverished areas. You got a lot of work to do to build trust. And so those skills as a pastor, and then when you enter into the church world of the African-American churches and the pastors and the conversations you have, and then you enter into conversation with the police department, well, yeah, you change the way you talk about it, but you're still the goal is reconciliation. The goal is transformation in the community. So people can get on board with that and partner with you, and they have no problem with you maybe being a former pastor. That sometimes comes up. But I'm here to make an impact. And so how do we do this? It's exciting.
What, at some point, have you ditched the pastor title? And because you've called yourself a corporate chaplain, does that kind of fade away? Or do people look at you and say, hey, pastor, what's that? That title is so much in our heads, especially after 23 years in ministry, right? That you've been hearing this. I'm just curious. That's been something that continues to show up for a lot of people. I'm no longer pastor.
Yeah, I would say, yeah, I don't find my identity the way I used to in pastor. But when it's all said and done, the conversations I end up having because of my faith, it ends up being very clear. And then it ends up being I'm called preacher boy sometimes or whatever it may be. Once they find out a little bit of my background and then they kind of hear in the questions that I ask, they're like, oh, okay. You definitely have a different slant. And then, so yeah, pastor is not something that I say I am a pastor, but but it is definitely something that I have had to work through and still working through, because I'm still in the same church that I was a pastor. And so my youngest kids are in the middle school ministry that I built, and all the people that are running it are the people that I hired. And so pastor, when I walk through the halls of the church, there are some people that still would see me as that. But no, I love chaplain. There's something about that I have just come to love. And corporate chaplain even sounds better. And then people go, what does that mean? I'm like, well, it means pastor, basically.
Yeah.
So.
is there anything that you would do differently in the transition season? Like, do you wish you would have taken some more time in between or processed things differently? Did you skip counseling? Is there something that, like, just people, as people are entering into a transition season, is there a nugget that you would take with you?
I think I would do certain things differently, in the sense of giving myself a little bit more freedom and understanding of grieving, that it takes a while to let go of what you've known, and you get, your identity gets pretty wrapped into your job, like we've heard on the podcast before. And it's very true. So I think just allowing myself to grieve, and then because I'm in the same church, I wished I would have maybe gone and spent some time maybe at another church for a little bit. We did visit a few churches, but because this is the place where my kids call home, and we're still here in Knoxville, I had to make that a priority. And so I do wish I had a little more space away from my church. So I would do that a little bit differently. And we're trying to figure out still what that looks like, because we're not real involved in the church. Our kids are involved, but we go and we enter into it. So, yeah, but I think for me, it's looking back at my years in ministry and realizing that there was some things that I held to, and I put so much up here when it comes to status and trying to, move your way up, and all the accolades that you get, and speaking engagements, and all the things that you want, and being known by so many people. I didn't realize how much was a part of that, was a part of my story and my heart. And so that took a while for me to unpack with friends and my wife. And, there was a moment last fall where my wife said, you know what, I can tell you're struggling. It's after the summer. We're going to get back into the fall and go to church. And she said, I know you're struggling. And I so appreciate my wife. She spoke such life into me and gave me the courage to walk through those halls, because when I walk through the halls, I can get really sad and I can get confused. And she sees it on me, and she knows that I'm looking for certain people to esteem me, to come to me, to give me those accolades that I was so used to getting. And she just said, you know what we're going to do? We're going to do something that I'm not comfortable with. We're going to sit in the very front center section of the worship center. And we're going to sit there, because the people that are in those rows are people that you've known for 25 years. You helped disciple their kids, and they love and respect you. Don't think about the people on the stage. Don't think about the other pastors on staff. Do this and just get comfortable with the people that you love and that love you. So now we sit in the front. I love it. My daughter, who's now 18, she's a senior in high school. She does not. So when she goes with us, we sit back where we're used to. But I share that story in that it took a lot of courage for me to enter in, and still does every single week, to go to my church and realize, okay, I'm not the pastor anymore. I am Alan. I'm a child of God. I'm here to worship with the corporate body. I love this church, but my role is not here anymore in that way that it once was. And it's still a journey. So just giving, I think I would just tell people, give yourself some space and time to grieve, but deal with it. Whatever that looks like, counseling, friends, this podcast has been, that's why I love this podcast, because it's just incredibly healing. And I have three different words that I kind of cycle through and how God uses things, and hope, healing, and health. And the hope is there's new opportunities. There's new vision for the kingdom. There are new ways to do this work that he's called me to. There's healing because there's this refinement. There's the repenting of sin. There's the repenting of pride. There's reconciliation and relationships there at the church that I have to pursue. And then there's health, which means all of a sudden I come to this place where I'm being fully present with God, my wife, my kids. I'm growing spiritually again, emotionally, physically. I'm trying to take care of myself better. So those are all kind of that cycle that repeats itself. There's hope, there's healing, and there's health.
Even after ministry.
Right? Absolutely. Amen to that. Yes.
And I always listen and I'm trying to always think of like, what do we want to call this? What's the through line? But we hit it right there at the end. That I think that that is the pursuit for us as followers of Jesus. And I think that those are really good restorative words that we all need to listen to.
Absolutely.
Just
one last just thought. Yeah, the words that you had when I first listened to the podcast about assignment has been incredibly, as I say, life-giving to me, because the calling has been and always will be to build people, to build people for transformation, to see people's lives changed, however that may look. But that calling's never gone away. But the assignment is different now. And so I've been a director of resident outreach. I've been the executive director of a nonprofit. Now I am the corporate chaplain, all in the last 3 years. So much change. And yet the assignment is God showing me each season, and it may be short compared to what I did for a long time, but it's an assignment and God is still working and using it. And my posture just needs to be that of being a servant instead of, I think at sometimes we can get it confused with being served in the role that we are as pastors. We like being served. We don't want to say that, but we really do. And now just this posture of, I'm just here to serve. So I don't have to lead anything. I am here to support and to care for, to shepherd and to build people. And it's incredibly good work to do.
He's not safe, but he's good, right?
Yes. Amen.
It is an adventure. It's a journey. Life after ministry is so stable and so predictable in so many ways, but that life after is truly an adventure. And I'm so thankful for you sharing your story. Next time I'm in Knoxville, I'm taking you out to my favorite Israeli restaurant, and we're going to talk some more.
Let's
yes,
do it.
It's going to be good. Well, Alan Ramsey, thanks for coming on, and appreciate you sharing your story. Is there life after ministry?
Absolutely, and it is good.
Good. Hey, thanks for coming on.
Absolutely.
Well, thanks for listening to this episode of the Life After Ministry podcast. We hope that the words that Alan has shared with you have inspired you and given you some hope. You know, the people that we talk to most are asking the question, what's next? Whether they're still in their ministry position or they are out of it. And they're trying to figure out, if I'm not doing this thing in ministry, then what is it that I will be doing? And so that is one of the things that we do constantly at Pastoral Transitions. It's actually one of the biggest things that we do, is helping to discern and figure out what are those transferable skills that you've had from ministry, and how do you employ them and utilize them to go out into the world and really make a change, make a difference for the kingdom. And what we find more often than not is that there's not only life after ministry, but there is always ministry after ministry. If you're in that place and you want to have a conversation, reach out to us. You can email us at talk@pastoraltransitions.com, or you can fill out a form on our website at pastoraltransitions.com. Wherever you're at, we pray that this episode has met you. If you know somebody, if it's resonated with you or sparked curiosity, then we just encourage you to share this episode and spread the inspiration with somebody that you know who might need it. Thanks for listening, and may you be blessed.